Idleman Unplugged is part of the Edify Podcast Network.
I want to see your face pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Idleman, and I'm the pastor of West Side Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Idleman Unplugged. I am your host, Luke Duncan, and on this episode of the podcast, Pastor Shane asks the question, can't we all just get along? We hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found.
Hey, welcome to Idleman Unplugged. The topic for this podcast is something along the lines of why we disagree on non-essentials and why do people get mad over it. So if you could sum it up, it'd probably be something like disagreeing on the non-essentials. So I should probably preface this with a few different things. In the Christian community, we call things essential, which means they are essential to salvation. The inerrancy of Scripture, the virgin birth, the resurrection, the true nature of God. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. And there's other things there that are absolutely essential to salvation and to the Christian faith. There is no wiggle room. So when people say, can't we all just get along? Well, yes and no. We're supposed to be peacemakers and get along, but we can't compromise the message of the gospel. So true biblical unity is unity of the spirit, unity of faith, unity of truth. So I can go to lunch with people I disagree with on these issues. Obviously, you work with people with different religious beliefs. But when it comes to worshiping God, when it comes to coming together as a fellowship of believers, when it comes to being united in the cause for Christ, we have to agree on the essentials without a shadow of a doubt. So what happens, and you get a lot of different fake religions out there, which are actually cults. A cult is, or heresy, is that which deviates from historical Christianity that Jesus taught, the disciples taught. When you deviate from that, it's called heretical. And that's where the word heresy comes from. And a cult is a group of people with a common mission to deviate from the text of Scripture, the absolute truth of God's word, the essential. So with that said, a lot of cults that look the same way will say, oh, look at you Christians. You have so many different denominations. You can't really be the true church. And, you know, I'll just say this. Roman Catholicism tells people that. The Mormon church tells people that. Jehovah's Witness will tell people that. And the answer is actually quite simple and profound, that God works in diversity. If we all look the same way and we have to say the same thing, act the same way, that's more of a definition than a cult, than Christianity. So in the body of Christ, you will see different denominations that disagree on the non-essentials. For example, Lutheranism. Luther came from Martin Luther and many of his teachings. And there's some things that, you know, I wouldn't agree with. If you talk about infant baptism, for example, but that's not an essential. That's a non-essential. And you have Presbyterians. They came from the founder John Calvin. You have Methodists. They came from John Wesley in the Methodist movement there. And Methodists really gets their word from methodology. There was a methodology about them creating disciples and things like that. And a lot of these founders would roll over in their grave if they see how far these, what they call now mainline denominational churches, have drifted from the foundational beliefs of Scripture, embracing sin, embracing sinful activities, ordaining leaders that are caught in sinful activity and they are unrepentant. And so that's where you get a lot of the older denominations. You have congregational rule. You had Anglican back when our country was established, and different forms of Christianity, because, you know, if I believe that the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit are for today, which I do, then it's going to be hard for me to go to a church that doesn't. So see, we can agree on the essentials, but disagree on the non-essentials. And that's why there are different denominations. And then some who agree, let's, for example, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they'll take it to a farther extreme than I would. And I can't really participate with those churches. And then in that mix, you have charismatic churches. They believe in bestowing spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit still does the miraculous today. And that's where the word charisma comes from. Charismatic in the Greek, it's bestowing spiritual gifts. Or Pentecostal, they attribute their foundational principles to the day of Pentecost. And many of them would believe that the sign of being filled with the Spirit is speaking in tongues, which I don't see that reading the Bible. I see that boldness, preaching with boldness, giving your testimony, standing up for the truth, living Christ-centered life, the joy of the Spirit. A lot of those things are in you without everyone speaking in tongues. So if you believe that, it's going to be a hard time going to a church that doesn't believe that. And so that's why different denominations spring up. Southern Baptist. I have a lot of friends in the Southern Baptist their denomination. Now they're catching a lot of water. I'm sorry, catching a lot of water. They're catching a lot of heat and they're underwater because of a lot of allegations that have came out. And what happens is the bigger you grow, and that's one of my concerns is for what God is doing with Westside Christian Fellowship, is the bigger you grow, if God's not in it, and you're just appointing people that aren't really qualified, you're losing that aspect of accountability, you're getting too big to properly handle the growth, you're going to see a lot of fallout. And that's what they are seeing there. And it's one of the largest denominations, and Southern Baptists would be more conservative, don't believe necessarily in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in large part. Many of them do, but a lot don't. And then you have, within that, you have the American Baptist that kind of separated from the Baptist organization. A lot of their branch has gone liberal. Some have tried to remain conservative. So you see in the mix here, we have a lot of different denominations. And there are some churches like ours called non-denominational, which means we love what the Bible teaches. We love all Christians. We don't just gravitate towards one movement. For example, Calvary Chapel. They have distinctives. And so I would consider them a denomination, even though they don't say they are, founded by Chuck Smith. And then you have Foursquare. Foursquare, the Foursquare there resembles Christ as Savior, Christ as soon coming King, Christ as baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And there's one more of the four. That's why they call it the Foursquare. And there's solid believers in all of these denominations. And there's people who are not. And there are people who give these different denominations bad names. I know Wimber, John Wimber started the Vineyard movement with a heart for reaching the younger kids and God miraculously moving a lot within certain churches, and the Vineyard movement sprang up. But then now there's liberal churches within that movement. And so that, I hope, is gives you a little bit of background. So that's why people don't agree on the non-essentials. They read scripture a little bit differently and they look at life through a little bit different lens. For example, the topic of woman pastors. Those who believe in women pastors think that, you know, they look at it a little bit differently. Now within that, there's different groups, because some would say, yes, they use the term pastor, but they're really over women's ministry or children's ministry. But my thought is, why use that term pastor that has to do with bishop, overseer, elder, and there's qualifications there. Now, the Bible to me teaches, and to our elders, that women serve in every capacity possible. They are the great gift to the body of Christ. Men are no better whatsoever. Many times we're not in par with them. However, this gift of spiritual leadership, leading a group of people, is given to the man according to scripture. Again, doesn't mean anyone's better. It just means the man is to die for the woman. The man is to die for the congregation. The man is to be the spiritual head. And that's why Paul said the woman should not usurp authority. So those who don't agree with that are going to maybe have a different denomination or a different church. It doesn't mean that God won't bless them to some degree, because you can not do things perfectly and still be used of God. That is all of us if we look in the mirror. And then you have those who I just said don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so they're going to maybe gravitate towards a different church. Then there's others who gravitate towards Reformed theology, Calvinism, the tulip, the 5 points of Calvinism, and included with that can be infant baptism, that you baptize infants. And it's more of a covenant relationship, like circumcision was in the Old Testament. Baptism is in the New, and that's why parents would baptize their little infants. But again, a lot of people don't see that in the Bible. We see a believer's baptism, repent and believe and be baptized. Now, you can dedicate a child, but we wouldn't baptize them. And I can keep going on from the style of worship, contemporary to the hymns, and that's why different denominations arise out of these differences. But at the core, all of these at the core should believe in the fundamentals of the Christian faith, the essentials of the Christian faith, that with when you start to remove Jesus as the only way, you have lost it. You are on a very dangerous road. When you say the cross plus these things, you're on a dangerous road. When you say that, you know, the scripture is a good book, but it's really not the inspired word of God, and we can glean a lot from other religions, you are on a very dangerous road. These are essentials: the resurrection to the deity of Christ, that Jesus was the Son of God, God incarnate, because Jesus was fully man, fully God. These things you have to embrace. And we also have to allow people a little bit of flexibility in regard to as they're growing in their walk and not quite understanding the Trinity. And so we have to be careful that we don't just label people false prophets or heretical just because they're not where we're at just yet. Are they willing to grow? Are they learning? Are they open? And that's what happens when a lot of people get very prideful, filled with pride on the non-essentials. They want to debate the rapture. When is it coming? They want to debate end times, amillennialism, premillennialism, postmillennialism, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, pre-tribulation, and all that. They love to debate. They've got a critical heart. And they love to debate primarily the non-essentials because that's where they think they can dig in. They want to show their knowledge. They're very arrogant. They're not broken. They're not humble. And those type of people are very dangerous to the body as well. So anyway, I hope that helps. That is my thought on different denominations, why there are different different denominations, why it can be healthy. Now, of course, the question is asked, but Shane, are they biblical? Well, when the Bible is silent on some issues, it's good to remain silent as well. We know that God wants us to be united. We know that there shouldn't be fractions or divisions among us. However, there will be divisions among you, Paul said. So those who are right will show that they are right. And you have to break away from those who are going in a dangerous direction. So I think denominations are here to stay. I think if they're overseen by people who are filled with God's Spirit and humble and, hey, we believe in the gifts of Spirit and here's, we're going to be meeting on Sundays and we're going to encourage that, that, you know, they're not going to be able to meet with a different group of people. For example, in my area, when I grew up, we had John MacArthur and the Jack Hayford, you know, down the freeway a little bit. And, you know, they're probably not going to be able to go to one another's churches. It's just whole different style of worship. And in our area, you know, we're more, The funny thing is conservatives call us charismatic and charismatics call us conservative. We try to find that middle ground, and there's some very conservative churches in our area that would not have people up at the altar. They would not have worship on for so long and just camping out and praising God. And it's not brainwashing. We just love Jesus. And so there's a lot of worship, a lot of time of prayer, a lot of preaching of the unadulterated word of God. And so some people don't feel comfortable with that. They're just like, ah, this is not my cup of tea. Their cup of tea is something different. And so we have to allow them that freedom and flexibility and understand, okay, God calls us for different things and in different ways. And thank God for the differences. I think it's in the differences that we can reach people. You're going to get some churches that you might not agree with, but they're reaching the homeless. They're reaching those with mental illnesses, and they're allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to move and operate. And then you have the other group who are reaching more of the wealthy and more of the upper echelons of society, and maybe those who are intellectually engaged. And so that's going to be a different group as well. So in the end, our heart should be unity. Our heart should be for peace as much as it depends upon us to live at peace with all men. Understand that God allows, at this point, it looks like, obviously, different denominations, but we have to agree on the essentials. That is a hill on which to die. So hope that helps, and we'll talk to you again, hopefully soon.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Idleman Unplugged, Be sure to send us your ideas and topics for future episodes of the podcast. You can send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I am your host of Idleman Unplugged. Thank you for listening to us today, and join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.